Find more State House coverage at sdpb.org.
We'll call House Appropriations Committee to order. If the Secretary would read the roll.
Berg. Here. Dennert. Here. Wismer. Here. Carson.
Here.
Dietrich.
Here.
Peters.
Here.
Wink. Putnam?
Here.
Tiedemann?
Here.
You have a quorum.
We do have a quorum, and we do have a new page here. If she would step to the table and tell us where you're from and what your plans are after you graduate from high school.
Marissa Nelson from Sioux Falls, and I plan to either go to Northern State in Aberdeen or Augustana in Sioux Falls.
Okay. Well, good luck, and you're going to major in what?
Special education and elementary education.
Good. Thank you. And then I will assign the minutes for today to Representative Peters. Okay. But.
I got you.
Okay, want to welcome the internet listeners and remind everybody that if you do have your cell phone and it goes off, you will be making a contribution to my favorite charity, American Diabetes Association, 50 cents per person that we have in here. And we count everybody times two, so just keep that in mind as we go forward. We'll start with Senate Bill 39 to make an appropriation to the Department of Education to reimburse certain school districts for consolidation incentives and declare an emergency. Opponents for Senate Bill 39.
Good morning, Mr. Chair, members of the committee. Tammy Darnell with the Department of Education, and I come here to ask your support of Senate Bill 39. Senate Bill 39 is our annual appropriation for the consolidation incentives for school districts that have consolidated. This year, for year one reorganizations, we have four new districts, three reorganizations. Harold and Hyde reorganized to the Highmore Harold School District. Mobridge and Pollock reorganized to the Mobridge Pollock School District. And Polo did a three-way reorg. They went with part of them with the Miller area and part of them with the Flockton area schools. And then we also have three reorganizations that are in their second year of consolidation payments, and that's Irene Wakanda, Kadoka Area Schools, and the Platte-Getty School District. Altogether, the total comes to $1,154,293 that are needed to pay out our obligation for this year. I ask you to support this bill, and I'll stand by for questions. Thank you.
Any questions for Ms. Darnell? Other proponents for Senate Bill 39. Other proponents for Senate Bill 39. Other proponents for Senate Bill 39. Any opponents to Senate Bill 39? Any opponents to Senate Bill 39? Any opponents to Senate Bill 39? Seeing none, do you have any final comments or questions? Okay, we'll close testimony and open up for action or discussion. Representative Putnam.
Well, thank you, Mr. Chairman. I think we pretty much know how this has been done in the past, and so for that reason, I would move Senate Bill number 39 to pass.
Second by Representative Dietrich. Any discussion on that motion?
The only thing I would say, Mr. Chairman, is this is in the governor's budget, and it is something that we are obliged to do and that we should continue on this program.
Any other comments, discussion? Seeing none, all in favor will say aye, all opposed nay, and Secretary will call the roll.
Berg?
Aye.
Dennert?
Aye.
Wismer?
Aye.
Carson?
Aye.
Dietrich?
Aye.
Peters?
Aye.
Wink?
Aye.
Putnam?
Aye.
Tiedemann?
Aye.
9 yeas, 0 nays.
Senate Bill 39 passes. Representative Berg, would you take that to the floor?
Yes, I would.
Okay. Senate Bill 49 is next up. We're going to defer action or taking anything on Senate Bill 49 until Wednesday. Still working on a couple things as far as a possible amendment, and so we will take that one up on Wednesday. Now we'll drop down to Senate Bill 36 to revise certain drug registration fees and license fees related to the health care facilities. Senate Bill 36. There's handout. Are they three-hole punched? Yes. Thank you.
Good morning, Mr. Chairman, members of the committee. My name is Tom Martinez. I'm the director of the Division of Health Systems Development and Regulation in the Department of Health. Senate Bill 36 is an act to revise certain drug registration fees and license fees related to healthcare facilities. As most of you know, the Department of Health is charged with licensing and regulating healthcare facilities in the state. Also on behalf of the Federal Centers for Medicare and Medicaid, we certify healthcare facilities for participation in the Medicare and Medicaid programs. To cover the cost of these programs, we receive both federal funds and state general funds. Currently, our Office of Licensure and Certification receives about $2.3 million in federal funds and about $1.2 million in state general funds to cover the cost of regulating healthcare facilities in the state. Through the current licensure fees, we raise approximately $266,894. These fees go directly to the general fund. So right now, our fee revenue only offsets about 23% of the general funds that are appropriated to the program. Most of the fees haven't been raised since 2003, and also the fees are relatively low compared to the surrounding states. And if you look at the chart on the third page of the handout, you can kind of see how we compare to at least five of the surrounding states. And just to give you an example, more specific example, take for example a 50-bed nursing home. This would be about the size of a nursing home you'd find in Arlington or DeSmit or in Canton. Currently, our fees for that size of facility would be $250. In North Dakota, it'd be $500. Minnesota, it'd be $4,733. Montana would be $50, Wyoming would be $100, and Nebraska would be $1,000. So again, we are kind of on the low side compared to these surrounding states. It's also important to point out that in addition to raising fees, Senate Bill 36 also proposes a new fee structure. The current fee structure, and you can see this on page two, the chart on page two, the current fee structure is basically $100 per facility plus $3 per bed. And now what we're proposing to do is to assess fees based on the type of facility and the size of the facility. And the reason we're proposing this change to the fee structure is to add some fairness or some equity to the fee structure. Each facility category provides a different type or level of care, so we feel that should be reflected in the fee structure. If enacted, Senate Bill 36 will raise an additional $272,481 in fee revenue. This would bring the total FY10 fee revenue to approximately $540,000. Therefore, the fee revenue would offset about 46% of the general funds that are appropriate to the program. And again, any revenue collected by these fees goes to the general fund. With that, Mr. Chairman, I'll stand by for questions.
Questions of Ms. Martinez. Yes, Representative Berg.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. How much increase are they getting in their provider fee, providers thing this year?
Mr. Chairman?
Yes.
I don't know if I'm the appropriate one to answer that question, but it's my understanding there is no increase.
So we're talking, if I could, Mr. Chairman.
Go ahead.
We're talking about doubling their fees for this, but we're talking about not giving them any increase so that they can pay for these doubling these fees. You know, I think it's kind of tough to ask them to do more with less. Thank you.
Representative Peters.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I have a question on Section 3. What was the rationale for taking out Section 3?
Mr. Chairman, Section 3, we're repealing that because, another thing we intended to do is to change the renewal period. Currently, these fees, the license expires, it's an annual license, expires every year. In discussions with the industry, and also we feel that there will be some internal economies achieved if we could extend that licensure period to multiple years, 2 years or possibly 3 years. We initially proposed to do that in this bill, but we quite frankly, we haven't had time to work with the industry. We don't want there to be unintended consequences with this issue. So by repealing Section 3 and putting rural promulgation authority in 2, I believe is what we did, we would establish that if we decide to do that in with the industry's blessing, so to speak, we would do that through rule.
Paula, go ahead.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. What assurances are you going to provide to ensure that your annual license fees are going to be prorated if the license dates change?
Mr. Chairman, well, that is our intent to prorate the license fees.
Mr. Chair, if I can
go ahead, follow up.
I understand the intent, but we've had some problems in the past with boards and commissions through rule saying it's an annual fee and then changing the renewal period to a shorter period of time without prorating the fee. What assurances are you going to have for us to ensure that you're actually going to prorate these fees?
Mr. Chairman, if we go to a lengthened renewal period or a licensure period, again, it's our intention, and I'm testifying today, that we will be prorating fees then.
So when will the fees be due under this, or is that to be determined yet by rules?
Mr. Chairman, yes. Yeah, that's, again, we didn't have time before this legislation was introduced to work with industry to work out the details. So those details will be worked out through rule. Again, we're looking at maybe a 2-year license period or maybe longer. And then staggering some of the different category types again so that there's some internal cost savings there.
Representative Dietrich.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. When I look at this, it says that the fee will be licensed or will be an annual fee. You say that in Section 1, and then we get to Section 2, it talks about annual or multiple year license or even a prorated license fee. So you give somebody a multiple year license, let's just talk about, and you give them a 4-year license just for talking periods. And then you come back to the legislature in that 4-year period and say, we need to change the fees once again. What are you going to do at that point in time?
Mr. Chairman?
Yes.
The idea behind the extending the renewal period or going to a multiple-year license was to be a win-win situation. And there's different ways we can do it. We might charge the fees every year, but the license is good. They just provide, each facility will provide some type of attestation that nothing has changed licensure status-wise, and then they could submit the fees. So it might not be a situation where they're paying multiple years up front, so to speak. I don't know if that answers your question or not.
Representative Wink.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. The current fee rate, you say, covers about 23% of expenses?
Mr. Chairman, yes, that's correct.
What would, with the new fee, what would that cover?
Mr. Chairman, that would cover 46% of the appropriated state general fund dollars.
Thank you.
Any other questions for Mr. Martinez? If not, Representative Denner.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Sir, that's the state general fund. You're going to be up to 46%. What's the federal dollars? How close does it come to meeting all of the costs then? Is there not federal dollars that flow here too?
Mr. Chairman, yes, there is. Again, the total budget for that regulatory program is $5.5 million. About $2.3 million is federal, and $1.2 is state general funds.
Thank you.
Other questions? Representative Peters.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. On Section 1, we talk about an annual license fee established, and then we talk about a nursing facility, 50 beds or less, $600. So if we go to a multi-year license, will that then cost $600? If you go for a 2-year license, are we talking $1,200 then? Or is this only for annual?
Mr. Chairman, these fees that are set out here are annual fees.
Any questions? Okay. Representative Putnam.
Thank you. The focus here on the committee is the repealing of Section 3. That's the focus. And you've tried to answer that maybe to your advantage, but we're trying to sort this out. You are taking away you are repealing the annual renewal of a health care facility license. Now, you have two things in this bill. You've got fees and licenses. We're trying to establish, if you're going to repeal that section, and then come to the rules and ask for the additional situation that you need on an annual basis, will you then have a specific date that the annual fees will be based on? In other words, at any time during the 2 or 3 year period that you start out with, will you be able to come back to rules and change that? Maybe I could put it in a different perspective. Let's say you have an annual fee now of $600, but 3 months prior to that annual date, you come here and say, you know what, we've got some problems out there, so we want to now change the annual date to 3 months before. Well, that's a little creative financing in our view, and you're going to get a quarter up, if you will, a quarter's worth of revenue coming in a little early. Do we see that here? I mean, can you explain why you're just repealing that for purposes of nailing down an annual date, or are you going to move that date around on the rules?
Mr. Chairman, the purpose of repealing Section 3 again was just because it states in the law currently states that the license expires on June 30th each year. The intent, what we were looking to do is instead of have a one-year license, a two or possibly a three-year license. We're not looking necessarily at moving that date, so to speak, but just issuing a license that is good for more than 1 year. And again, this was kind of a side to the fees. The fees themselves are obviously they're going to be set in statute.
Any other questions? Thank you. Other proponents to Senate Bill 36. Other proponents to Senate Bill 36.
Yes, good morning. Good morning, Mr. Chair, members of the committee. I'm Ken Singer. I'm representing SDHO, the South Dakota Association of Healthcare Organizations. Just briefly, we'd like to have the committee know that every one of the fees that are proposed by Senate Bill 36 would affect our members in one way or another. The department worked pretty closely with us prior to the filing of this legislation. We understand what they're doing, how they're doing it, the regulatory complexities that have developed has obviously been requiring much more oversight by the department and coordination with the provider community. So in our view, we see some justification for raising the fees. So with that, we would tell you that we're okay with the bill.
Any questions for Mr. Singer? Yes, Representative Dennard.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Mr. Singer, have you taken into any thought about provider, no provider increase as we're sitting here today, and yet you're accepting the fee increase? How does that affect the bottom line?
Mr. Chair, yes, Representative Putnam, or Dennard, yes, we very much taken that into consideration, and obviously we had quite a bit of discussion leading up to this bill and considering what our association's position on it would be. I would say that this committee and the legislature has been supportive of health care for many years, and we're hopeful that we could anticipate that support again this year. But yes, to go exactly to your question, this would come off the bottom line if there were not a provider increase otherwise.
follow-up? Go ahead.
If I might, then, thank you, Mr. Chairman. Would you expect, then, that in cases where you can, you'll pass this increased cost on to the people that can afford to pay?
Mr. Chair?
Yes.
Certainly, that's always where the costs go.
Any other questions? Thank you. Other proponents to Senate Bill 36. Other proponents to Senate Bill 36. Other proponents to Senate Bill 36. Seeing none, are there any opponents to Senate Bill 36? Any opponents to Senate Bill 36? Any opponents to Senate Bill 36? Seeing none, we'll close testimony at this time and open up to discussion and or action. Representative Putnam.
Well, Mr. Chairman, I don't know that I've got my questions positioned correctly on the thing. If it is at all possible, another day or so, it's your call on this. I'm not ready to make any motion on it. Maybe somebody, a member of our committee, is, but I'm a little reluctant to go. I'd like to get a little stronger answer on the change in Section 3 and sort out the fees versus the multiple-year licensing, and I'd like to have just a little bit more information on that. That's my call on. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Any other discussion? Representative Wink.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I think I would concur with Representative Putman. I'd like to what gives me the most heartburn, I guess, is what the fee on the hospital, the increase. It basically goes from $7 a bed up to $40 a bed. And I know some of these rural hospitals are having a real tough time of it right now, and I can't imagine that they would sign on to this. But I would like to, I guess, check with them and see what their position is on it before I would vote. So I would like to defer it.
Thank you for that. With that input, then we'll defer action until Wednesday on Senate Bill 36. Let's go down to Senate Bill 47. Make an appropriation for costs related to the suppression of wildfires in the state and declare an emergency. Proponents to Senate Bill 47.
Good morning, Mr. Chairman, members of the House Appropriations Committee. Chris Peterson with the Department of Agriculture. Mr. Chairman, Senate Bill 47 in front of you today is the annual appropriation to backfill the Department of Agriculture's Fire Suppression Fund. We bring this bill annually to basically cover the state's share of fighting wildland fires in the Black Hills Fire District. This year, the request is for $641,065 to cover those costs, and this will bring that fire suppression fund from what is in a negative balance today basically to a net of zero. We start this fund annually with no appropriation, spend it on the costs relating to fighting fires, and then come to the legislature each and every year to basically backfill the state share of those costs. So with that, Mr. Chairman, I can stand by for any questions.
Any questions? If not, thank you. Other proponents to Senate Bill 47. Other proponents to Senate Bill 47. Other proponents to Senate Bill 47. Seeing none, any opponents? Any opponents to Senate Bill 47? Any opponents to Senate Bill 47? Seeing none, we'll close testimony and open it up to action. Representative Putnam.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I would move due pass on Senate Bill number 47.
Second by Representative Peters. Due pass. Any discussion on that motion? Representative Putnam.
Well, the only discussion I'd say most of us know, we're actually paying our bill here. They start out, as he's pointed out, at a negative or a zero balance, and they pay the bills, and now we're just making sure that fund is put back into whole.
Any other discussion? Seeing none, all in favor will vote aye, all opposed nay, and the secretary will call the roll.
Berg?
Aye.
Dennert?
Aye.
Yes or no?
Yes.
Oh, sorry. Wismer? Carson?
Aye.
Dietrich?
Aye.
Peters?
Aye.
Wink?
Aye.
Putnam?
Aye.
Tiedemann?
Aye.
9 yeas, 0 nays.
Senate Bill 47 passes. Representative Wink, would you carry that to the floor? We'll go down to Senate Bill 48, make an appropriation for costs related to disasters in the state and declare an emergency. Senate Bill 48.
Good morning, Mr. Chairman, members of the committee. My name is Christy Terman. I am the director of the Division of Emergency Services for the Department of Public Safety. Senate Bill 48 is an emergency special appropriation for the Emergency and Disaster Fund to cover costs of disasters that have occurred in the state. Section 1 appropriates $1,916,721 from the general fund into the Emergency and Disaster Fund. This is the estimated balance in the Emergency and Disaster Fund after all obligations have been met. The fund balance as of December 31st, 2008 was negative $1,015,053. We anticipate an additional $901,668 in expenses to close out these emergency incidents. When these outstanding costs are paid, we anticipate a fund balance of negative $1,916,721, which is what this bill, the amount that this bill would appropriate. The last time that funds were placed into the Emergency and Disaster Fund was during the 2008 session, when $4,337,522 was appropriated by Senate Bill 47. I would ask for your support of Senate Bill 48, and I will stand by for any questions. Thank you.
Any questions for Ms. Terman? If not, thank you. Other proponents to Senate Bill 48. Other proponents to Senate Bill 48. Any other proponents to Senate Bill 48? Seeing none, are there any opponents to Senate Bill 48? Opponents to Senate Bill 48? Opponents to Senate Bill 48? Seeing none, we'll close testimony and open it up for discussion and or action. Representative Putnam.
Well, thank you, Mr. Chairman. Once again, we're making the balance whole again. This is in the governor's budget already, so I would move due pass on Senate Bill number 48.
We have due pass. Is there a second? Second by Representative Peters. Any discussion on that motion? Seeing none, all in favor will vote aye. All opposed, nay. And Secretary will call the roll.
Berg?
Aye.
Dennert?
Aye.
Wismer?
Aye.
Carson?
Aye.
Dietrich?
Aye.
Peters?
Aye.
Wink?
Aye.
Putnam?
Aye.
Tiedemann?
Aye.
9 yeas, 0 nays.
Senate Bill 48 do pass. Representative Dennert, would you be willing to carry that to the floor? Thank you. Since you had a little bit of disaster up in your area last year.
Yeah,
that. Senate Bill 74, direct the Office of Attorney General to study the creation of a state medical examiner system and declare an emergency. And I'd ask for a motion to refer this to Judiciary.
I would so move.
Second.
Moved by Representative Putnam, seconded by Representative Dietrich to refer this to House Judiciary. Any discussion on that motion?
You might be able to explain it a little better, Mr. Chairman. We're moving that back to Judiciary for a specific reason.
When the bill was first introduced, it did have some money attached to it. It is a directing the Office of Attorney General to do a study for the creation of a state medical examiner system. Since that funding was taken out of the bill, that was requested that it be just passed on or referred to the House Judiciary Committee to review the content of the bill, the policy of the bill. And so since there's no money there, they can't spend anything, we can send it on. Any other discussion? Seeing none, all those in favor vote aye. All opposed, nay. Secretary, call the roll.
Berg.
Aye.
Dennert.
Aye.
Wismer.
Aye.
Carson.
Aye.
Dietrich.
Aye.
Peters.
Aye.
Wink.
Aye.
Putnam.
Aye.
Tiedemann.
Aye.
9 yeas, 0 nays.
74 will be referred to House Judiciary. We'll now go back to the top and take Senate Bill 52. Make an appropriation from the Coordinated Natural Resource Conservation Fund to the State Conservation Commission. Proponents of Senate Bill 52.
Good morning, Mr. Chairman, members of the committee.
Good morning.
My name is Ray Sowers. I'm the Director of the Division of Resource Conservation and Forestry within the Department of Ag. Senate Bill 52 is not a complex bill, so I will keep my comments very brief. Senate Bill 52 does not ask for any new appropriations of funds. The bill simply provides for the authority to spend $300,000 of funds that will be deposited into the Coordinated Natural Resource Conservation Fund, which is commonly known as the Conservation Fund, during the coming fiscal year. The State Conservation Commission uses these funds to provide grants to the 69 conservation districts throughout the state of South Dakota. The conservation districts in turn utilize these funds to provide a variety of conservation projects that meet the goals and objectives identified in the state coordinated plan for natural resource conservation. And I always stumble over that because we just commonly refer to that as the state conservation plan. This plan, the conservation plan, was reaffirmed by the state legislature 2 years ago. Now, normally, we provide the committee with a report of what has been accomplished with the fund since its inception in 1992. And I believe that report has been passed out. It's the color 4-page report. It provides a good summary of the history of the program, what we've done with the funds, and how they've been utilized in various conservation projects. I also passed out a copy of the brochure explaining the goals and objectives of the state conservation plan. And I believe you can look through that at your leisure, so I don't plan to go into any details on those. With that, I will end my testimony and stand available for any questions that the committee may have. Thank you.
Any question for Mr. Sowers? Seeing none, thank you.
Thank you.
Other proponents for Senate Bill 52?
Good morning, members of the committee. My name is Angela Ehlers, and I am the registered lobbyist for South Dakota's conservation districts. We do stand in support of Senate Bill 52. One thing I'd like to point out is that the funds that are provided through the Conservation Grants Fund are for special projects. They do not get spent on the day-to-day operations of the conservation districts. We earn our own money and access other sources for day-to-day operations. These are special projects. They will go to quite often cost-share projects for producers to carry out applications, special technical assistance, information education projects, but they are outside our regular operation dollars. I'd be happy to answer any questions anyone may have about the fund or the programs and some of the projects we've undertaken. Sometimes easier to answer your questions than to spend a lot of time boring you with details.
Any questions for Ms. Eilers? Representative Berg.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Do you try to work with local contractors whenever possible?
Yes.
You know, if I could follow up, rather than, you know, sometimes the districts getting involved in doing these things themselves, do you always look to have local contractors first?
Mr. Chairman?
Yes, go ahead.
Each conservation district is an independent unit of local government. They have, you know, they have a board of 5 elected supervisors who make those decisions. They try to provide services that will benefit their taxpayers within that district. It varies. Each district has different operations. We have some districts that are in grass seeding, tree planting, trenching, fencing, map sales, flag sales, depending on what the needs of that local area is.
And just a comment, mostly, is that I know traditionally the tree planting and the plastic and the cultivating of them has been a main source of doing it, because there's really not private contractors doing that. But boy, when you get into trenching and fence building, I know we've got in our area, we've got two private contractors in our area that actually do fencing and all kinds of trenching and those type of things. I mean, not all areas have that, but I think one of the things we need to make for sure we do in these things is that we do not compete against the private enterprise as much as possible. And there's some cases, you know, there isn't private one that does it, but I think when there is, I think we really need to be able to not broaden our base too far in these programs. But I'm going to support them because they're all very good programs that we have. But I think that's one area we keep creeping into that maybe we need to be a little more careful.
Is that a question?
Representative Putnam.
I'll come up with one if you're looking for questions.
No, I just...
Well, I heard you ask if that was one. It might have been. You were just, and then following up a little bit on what Representative Berg is saying, each individual, each conservation group can make those decisions within their own rules. Do we have anything to do with that statutorily on these dollars that we're passing through?
Mr. Chairman?
Yes.
The dollars that you're dealing with today do not go towards any of the operations of the districts. The districts, of course, have no taxing authority. There is none in state statute. They must get by on what they earn or what they can beg, for lack of a better term, from other entities. There is a portion of statute that allows county commissions, if they so choose, to donate dollars to the conservation district's operation. And Representative Wink, I believe you're from Meade County. You support Elk Creek and Tri-County conservation districts too, which is unusual because more and more of the counties are not supporting the conservation districts because they have other strains on their resources. American Creek is the one that is in the trenching business, and the conservation district there is not supported by the county. The county does not contribute any funds to the conservation district. As far as other competition, you're right. Historically, we've been in tree planting and grass seedings. We do have competition, and those other people have come into the arena as they've seen that there could be a profit in them. I mean, we were the first ones in, but others have come in. Actually, the conservation districts in the late 40s and 50s were in the trenching business. We did pipelines. We actually did terraces in Lincoln and Minnehaha and Yankton counties for years. So construction is not a new operation for the conservation districts. But until we have a permanent source of funding that we don't have to go out and earn money in order to provide services, we have no alternative.
Paul,
go ahead.
So, and as I remember in the years I've been here, too, that has evolved. And the reason, of course, was the cost of it. We didn't want to bear those costs with general funds, so they started to narrow those fields down and find it to be done. Were you in on the Senate side when they passed the bill through on the committee on the Senate side? Did you happen to sit in on that?
Mr. Chairman? Yes, Representative Putnam, I was present for that discussion.
And were there amendments on that bill? Did it come with amendments? I just didn't do my homework here, and I'm just looking. Was there an amendment on the bill?
Mr. Chairman? No, Mr. Putnam, there was an amendment proposed, but it did not receive votes to attach it. The bill comes through in the form submitted by the governor.
Thank you.
So does Lincoln County still do terraces, and do they have heavy equipment?
Mr. Chairman, no, the Lincoln County no longer does the terraces. The equipment they had finally wore out. And actually, terraces aren't as popular as they used to be. We found other conservation practices now that can achieve the same results.
I just remember back to the 70s and 80s when they did do that. They had, but it was, the equipment was old back then. So I figured they might have moved beyond that. Representative Dennert.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Ms. Eilers, as I was listening to the testimony and realizing what we've did in our operation, we've used the North Brown District for tree planting, fabricating and things, but we've also did a lot of rotational grazing and water. And as I was scratching my head thinking about who did the work, I believe our trenching was done by a private contractor, as I remember. When we do that and get cost share there, do we have to get like one or two bids, or can we just go out and is there a price range and footage for that trenching and or pasture for water taps and rotational grazing?
Mr. Chairman?
Go ahead.
Representative Dennert, the producer has the right to select whichever contractor they choose. And the cost share, it can come through the Conservation Grants Fund if Brown Marshall has that, or you may have gotten it through the USDA, Natural Resources Conservation Service. I'm not sure which entity you got it from. But either way, no matter whether the dollars come from state or federal, you as a producer get to choose who you want to apply your practice. You will have a cost share rate. The Conservation Commission next Thursday will be setting their cost share rates for the Conservation Grants Fund. USDA sets their cost share rates usually in October, because that's when they start their fiscal year. And you will be paid that amount whether you have Joe Blow Construct Trenching Company or John Smith, whatever. You get that rate. We do also have a conservation district that sells above ground pipe. You mentioned the rotational grazing, where they'll, rather than bury the pipe will move as the cattle move. And I don't know if you've seen those systems. We've got them started in your area. We had a private contractor that American Creek was working with to provide that. The private contractor decided he didn't want to do that anymore. So we have a different conservation district that took on that project. Otherwise, we had nobody in the state that was supplying that service.
Follow up. Go ahead.
Thank you. So as I understand, if there was, we had got bids from two people, there would be, we would accept the bid we want, and the cost reimbursement would be the same no matter which bid we accepted.
Correct.
That's the way I would understand it. Thank you.
Ms. Eilers, now these dollars are pooled with some other dollars that then go out on a competitive basis to the conservation districts. Is that correct? And
Mr. Chairman, yes, that is correct. The Conservation Commission holds one or two grant rounds a year, depending on the availability of dollars. Because as you, those of you that have been here a few years and listened to me tell you this over and over, that pile of money or pool of funds is continuing to decline. We do seek to get the best match that we can for the projects. The Commission sets four goals each year of what they want to see the dollars spent on so that we can concentrate the efforts. For example, we did some projects where we got some money from USDA for Farm Bill Technical Assist to help carry out the projects, and that's a 50-50 match. But we also have projects that can match 80 to 90% of the project. We use these dollars to provide state and local match to the 319 EPA dollars for non-point source. For example, the Belle Fouche River Watershed Project, Upper Snake Creek, Big Sioux projects. We've been working on some James River projects, Lewis and Clark down in the Douglas area. So those projects all have received conservation funding and use that to provide some of that state and local match we need to get federal dollars.
Representative Berg.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Do you have a waiting list of projects if we had more money?
Representative Berg, yes, we do. I believe we left 30-some projects on the table at the last funding round. So if we had additional dollars, we could easily put more projects out on the land for the producers.
And, you know, just to make a comment here a little bit, you know, and they have it in their pamphlet, for every dollar we put in, we get $4.49 back. And it's, I mean, these are some of the best programs because we've been a major user of them in building our feedlots and water places all over the place for many, many years. So, and these are, you got cost shares all along, but pretty much for every dollar we put in, we know what kind of return there is out there.
Representative Dennert.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Ms. Eilers, as we kind of, in our discussion, have stated, there isn't a lot of competition for the tree planting and fabricating across the state and the different districts. How many would you say that have private contractors or in competition with private contractors on like trenching or and or whatever fence building? Is there a lot of the districts that furnish this service that would be in direct competition with private?
Mr. Chairman? As far as trenching, we have one conservation district involved in that. We have one conservation district involved in the above ground pipe. We have two conservation districts, I believe, involved in the fencing. However, I want to make sure you all understand that the conservation districts do no advertising in their offices. We share offices with the federal entities, and they're very clear that, in fact, I have some handouts. I can show you what the USDA puts out, and it says, you know, it lists the available contractors. The districts do not advertise in the local office that they have their service available. They may advertise outside the office, but they do not in the federal building. And the list lists what contractors are available, and it states in there USDA does not endorse any, USDA does not recommend anyone, and they're all listed alphabetically. So we receive no special advantage that way. As far as the map sales, I think there's four conservation districts that sell aerial photos or maps. It varies by what is the need of that county.
I'm going to switch gears a little bit, Ms. Eilers. As we look at the state of South Dakota, we have two real main natural resources there that we need to protect, one, soil, and two, water. Whose responsibility is it to protect the water resources of the state?
Mr. Chairman, the state law says that we are charged with that responsibility. However, I feel it's the responsibility of every citizen of the state of South Dakota.
Thank you. Any other questions? Thank you. Other proponents to Senate Bill 52. Other proponents to Senate Bill 52. Any other proponents to Senate Bill 52? Seeing none. Any opponents to Senate Bill 52?
Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, I come to you today without badge and portfolio, as my good friend Jeremiah Murphy says. I'm Jim Hutmaker from Oklahoma, representing myself. I am not really an opponent to the bill. I believe the conservation districts do a great job of funding programs that they have in their entitlement. The problem I have is unfair government competition, and if I could get a page to hand out some of this, I have some pictures.
Are they punched? Okay, would you?
No, they're not punched, Mr. Chairman.
Yeah, the rules in here, you have to have them punched before we take them.
I just was going to hand them around for information.
Oh, that's okay, but we love information with three-hole punch.
I try not to spend a lot of time in Appropriations Committee, Mr. Chairman.
Well, you know, your Appropriations 101 then.
The thing that I want to bring up is we have several problems. Rod Bauer, who's president of Kennebec Telephone, was also involved with this when we met with the American Creek Conservation District. And we brought up several things to them, and they did send a letter back to us basically saying that they weren't going to get out of the trenching business. The first thing they have is easy access to customers. They're operating that business out of the same location as the design and funding's coming from. And as you'll see that ad that's being passed around, it's the same phone number as if you call the Farm Service Agency in Lyman County, that's the number you call and you do extension 2 for FSA and extension 3 for NRCS. The other thing is they don't pay any income tax, nonprofit organization. So there's at least a 15% advantage they have. They can go to federal surplus in Huron and buy things off surplus, as any city or county or anybody else can do. The other thing is vehicle licenses, and as you'll see on those photos, a private contractor, as myself, has to buy commercial license plates for our vehicles. That'll range anywhere from $800 to $1,200 a year for enough tonnage to haul that equipment. Those are county plates on there that are tax exempt. Property tax. Over in the Senate committee, it was stated that they paid payment in lieu of taxes. But being the inquisitive person I am, I stopped at the Lyman County Courthouse on the way home. The property the Conservation District owns and the building it sits on is tax exempt. They pay no sales tax on road fuel or off-road fuel, which is 4% or 6% if you're in the city, whatever the applicable is. All the red fuel that you burn, you have to pay sales tax on. Sales tax on equipment. I buy a piece of equipment, it's delivered outside the city limits, I pay 4% tax on it. it comes into the city limits, I have to pay that applicable city tax at one time. Same thing with materials. You pay 4% tax at the wholesale level. If you're within the city, incorporated city limits, you pay that city tax also. Then when you're done with that invoice or that job and you do the invoice, you invoice that material out and the product, which in this case is trenching, and you charge excise tax on top of everything. The way it looks to me is there's about a 25% advantage that they have just from the operation, and I don't think that's quite what you'd call fair competition. Mr. Chairman, I do have an amendment, and it is three-hole punched. If you would like to, I can pass it out. And what the amendment does...
You can give it to my intern, John. Here comes the page.
But back. That one is punched, Mr. But, Chairman.
Yeah, to go make copies because there wasn't enough copies.
Okay. What the amendment says is no conservation district may sell goods, commodities, or services to the general public if those goods, commodities, or services are readily available through a private business or non-governmental entity. I realize that's probably pretty harsh, and I really don't have a problem with the tree planting, but I was told in the Senate side the amendment I had over there that dealt with basically if they received funds out of that conservation district fund that they were and competed with private business, they couldn't receive any of those funds. And the Senate Appropriations Committee told me that wasn't the right amendment, so I redrafted this one. And with that, Mr. Chairman, I guess my last, I have a couple more comments. One of them is if we need to, if you have questions, I'll try to answer them. If there's rebut time, I would like a chance to respond. And the other thing, if you believe that it's all right for basically the government to be in competition with private industry, then I think you can vote against the amendment. If you think that government shouldn't be against in competition against private industry, then I suggest you vote for the amendment.
Questions? Representative Dennard.
Mr. Chairman, for discussion, I would move the amendment.
Okay, thank you. Seconded by Representative Byrd. So the amendment 52TB has been moved and seconded. Any discussion on that amendment at this time, or do you want to ask some questions first before we vote on the amendment? Representative Wink.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I just talked to the amendment. I think he brings up some good points, and I'm not for government competing against private industry, but I believe this amendment has some vagaries in the language that I'm not sure what you mean by readily available. I think that can be interpreted pretty loosely, and it could be 50 miles away or it could be 150 miles away. So I don't think I can support the amendment, but I do. I think he does bring up some good points with the competition.
Representative Dennard.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. And Representative Wink brought up a good thought, and I was just curious, would it mean just within the boundaries of that district, or would it mean, depending where you live, so you might get better service from another district if there was private competition? But that would be my comment. If you'd want to reply, Mr. Hutmaker.
Mr. Chairman, if I may respond.
You sure may.
That amendment was generically written, and I'm not opposed to changing it. And if it's within, you know, if you're comfortable within the conservation district, I'm fine with that also.
I do have a couple questions, Mr. Hutmaker. Okay. Now, does Lyman County do business primarily within Lyman County, or do they stretch outside with that trenching business?
I know they have been over in Brule County several times, and I don't know which.
Oh, is that within 100 miles?
Oh, it's within probably 40 miles of their operation.
Now, is your business statewide?
No.
Area-wide?
Area.
Within 200 miles from home?
The trenching business, we probably run a 40-mile radius, and when the well portion of it, we run 120 miles probably. Okay.
Thank you. Representative Dietrich.
Well, I'd like to ask Ms. Ehlers what she thinks of this amendment.
You surely can ask that. Did you hear the question, or would you like it restated?
Mr. Chairman, I believe the question is, what do I think of this?
Now, be kind.
Yeah, This would pretty much shut most conservation districts down, I'm afraid. And without, again, we have no choice but to earn money to operate. Mr. Hutmaker pointed out that we don't pay property taxes. We don't have commercial plates. No, we don't. The sort of the agreement that American Creek or Lyman County came to with their county commissioners was if they were in the trenching business, then the county commissioners would not provide payment to the conservation district. And so the conservation district doesn't pay property taxes to the county commissioners because the county commissioners then would turn around and give the money back. So it's a wash. So just keep it in. As far as not paying income tax, true. You don't pay income tax. Well, the reason you pay income tax is so that the government can support opportunities and programs out there. Well, that's the reason the conservation district is earning dollars, is to support programs and opportunities. So rather than pay income tax to the feds, you just keep the tax equivalent tax dollars on the local level and we provide those services. That's the reason that we're in these businesses. We're not in these businesses for the fun of it. We're in these businesses because we have no other way to keep the doors open and provide services. And you have to also remember, conservation districts aren't the only government entities out there that are in enterprise operations. You have municipalities that run utilities. You have, actually, someone was talking to me the other day, and when we were talking about competition of private enterprise, they said if you really wanted to get government on a private enterprise, bands or the local music group for the school could not go out and sell candy bars because they are sold at the grocery store. You wouldn't have a concession stand in a high school football game because there's a convenience store in town. Government does compete with private enterprise at times, and I'm not sure you could ever get out of it 100%.
Representative Putnam.
When you say that it's the amendment that you're objecting to, and it would be because it would shut down, as you're saying, would not the local entity pick that up automatically? I mean, yes, it would shut your portion down, but would it shut down the services in that area?
Mr. Putnam, no, it wouldn't shut down the services, but the conservation districts would no longer have the means to operate. It would shut the conservation districts down because we couldn't earn dollars to keep the doors open. And I'm pretty sure most of the counties that have given up supporting conservation districts don't have the dollars in their budgets to come back in. Unless we have a different permanent funding source of revenue for conservation districts that comes from a government or a government opportunity, I don't know where else we can go.
I appreciate that because I think that's where I was headed. The past few years here, we've tried to find a funding source, and so far it's been stuck on this gas tax refund dollars that we've been using, and it's declining. So what other resource do you have other than this? Do you have any other revenue source other than this? I believe you've said one of the counties is helping, or more than one, but is that the end of your revenue stream?
Mr. Putnam, we do have some counties. It's probably about a third of the counties that provide some funding to the conservation districts, whereas 30 years ago it was 100%. But the counties will tell you their budgets are strained, and they feel they have to cut what they're not mandated to do. Other funding sources, we use the conservation dollars, the dollars we earn, to go out and seek other match dollars to provide projects. But for operations, to run the offices, it's pretty much the dollars we earn through enterprise. And then the excess dollars we can use to match those other program dollars we can get. There's no other federal state entity out there that's interested in providing you with operations dollars.
And just the last, you certainly would agree that, as you said a number of years ago, in fact, in the early 80s and so forth, you were funded at a higher rate through the counties. And when this gas tax dollars were found, it was a source. That is declining also, just like money is tied everywhere. So you must certainly feel dinosaurish. It's going to come to an end pretty soon. Then, would you then agree that probably the private sector has to step up and do it? If there's anybody going to do it, it would come from the private sector?
Mr. Putnam, I think I understand your question. If the conservation districts didn't exist or provide the services, yeah, the private sector may. When CRP was in its heyday, we had more private enterprises that were interested in the tree planting and the fabric.
as the tree planting interest has waned in CRP, some of those people have gotten back out of the business when they realized that you don't make necessarily a sustainable amount every year, and you've got to, it's like farming, and a lot of you are related to farming. You have good years and bad years, and several bad years in a row pretty much puts you out of the farming business.
You know, I'm certainly not advocating the demise, but if you continue on the path you're at, it will stop. And whether the amendment comes or not, maybe the amendment is just ahead of its time, I don't know. But you're suggesting the amendment would do away with it for sure. And we're suggesting that if you run out of those tax dollars, it's done also. And so that's why off base, we're looking for additional funds to keep you going. But just for debate purposes, thank you for your answers.
Representative Burke.
Mine is more of a question for within the committee. Is there a way that we could maybe defer this bill a day or two and let them work on this amendment? You know, because I kind of like the amendment, but I also know the effects of it, you know. And I think it's worthwhile to maybe look at this a little longer, what they do. The problem you have in the conservation districts, and I'm pretty aware of them, you've got some very rich ones and you've got some very poor ones. And, of course, you get in the eastern part of the county or the state here, we've got some fairly rich ones because of all the trees that are being planted in that. I have to sit in a county that has been that way. I know that's going to wane. But you get out west where they've been fighting a drought, and they don't have the money to do some of the things they really need out there, which is trenching and a lot of that stuff to get done because they don't have the money to fight. And yet some of those programs are needed the most out there. I'm not saying this amendment's going to fix any of that type of thing. But in the same sense, I think this amendment should be worked on a little bit. And I'd like to see us defer this for a day or two if we could and just let them work on it.
Representative Dietrich.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I'd say personally before I would like to see it deferred, I'd like to hear a comment from Mr. Sowers concerning what he thinks of this particular amendment. Okay.
Mr. Sowers.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. My answer will answer, I think, part of what Representative Putnam was answering earlier. There's really two things going on here, two separate things. We have a grant program that is funded by the gas tax, which provides grants to the districts to implement projects. The competition argument deals with how the district survives on a day-to-day basis and doesn't really pertain to the cost-share grants and the cost-share projects. You ask what would happen if the conservation fund continues to dry up? The answer to that is that the districts may continue to survive if they have a means of survival, even without the cost share grants that we provide them now. Whether they compete with private industry or not to do the things that they need to do locally, that will still occur whether there's a cost share grant program or not. Right now, the question is if we have a cost share program and we can't provide these funds to the district because they're competing, then we've shut a door to that local district, which I think would be detrimental to the conservation projects in that area. So I hope I've answered your question here.
Any other questions for Mr. Sowers? Representative Dennert?
Completely unrelated, Mr. Chairman, but as long as Mr. Sowers is at the table, I was going to ask him a question on his handout.
Okay.
On page 2, Mr. Sower, in the bottom in the blue map, and it's solid blue. My question was, it's got districts awarded program grants, and I happen to be from the Brown Marshall area, and there's numbers in some of them, and that particular one does not have a number, and I was just curious what those numbers represented, like 2 in South Brown, 7 in Day, 9 in Marshall, and there's no number in Brown Marshall?
I believe those are the number of projects that have been funded in each of those districts to date. We have a handout which I can provide to each of you showing you the projects that have been funded in your district
if you would like to see that.
If I might, then, the ones that have been funded with grants, Mr. Sauer,
yes,
is that the number? Okay,
yes.
Thank you. That's satisfactory. I was just curious what they represented.
Representative Putnam?
Just to follow up, but if you'd stay for just a second, I want to run this by the chair. I'm not up on all the rules in the book, but I see that there's a title amendment also, if indeed this passes. So I don't know what that might mean to the rule folks here, whether that means this is not germane, whether we have to change the title or what. I don't know. The chairman can make some decision on that. But it looks like, if I read the contents of the amendment, it isn't applicable to the bill. And that's why I wanted to ask a couple more questions with regard to what we talked about earlier. Actually, that is apples and oranges, isn't it? In other words, we're looking at competitive grants that this money is used for.
That's correct.
Not the money used for specific trenching or trees or anything else. Would I understand that right? In other words, if I had to make a ruling on some legality, we'd look at that rather than the philosophical view.
Mr. Chairman?
Yes.
Yes, I believe you're exactly correct. I believe you are talking apples and oranges when you're talking competitiveness of the district as opposed to how these conservation grant funds are utilized.
Mr. Chairman, that being the case, I don't know. I guess I'd ask for a ruling, or we can go on with whatever we want to talk about here.
Well, the information that has come forth, and I had already checked with the vice to see if this amendment was really germane to the bill, and in my opinion, it's not. It's creating a whole separate entity. And again, I respect Representative Berg in saying we need to get together on this amendment, but I don't feel this amendment really fits with this bill, because this is moving the money over so it can be given to the conservation districts for those special projects. Representative Dennert.
Well, thank you, Mr. Chairman. And as Representative Berg said a week ago, it isn't very often we disagree, but I'm going to disagree with him and probably agree with the chair and vice chair today. I think I do not want to slow this up. I think the conservation districts have proven their worth and they went forward. I think I'll agree with this amendment probably isn't germane, but I think in the interest of the presenter of the amendment, that probably that would be separate legislation that would have to go out in this case. And so that's why I would make that my thoughts to you today.
Representative Wismer.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I think we're doing a disservice to the conservation districts if we allow a couple of these impressions to stand on this list of 10. When you talk about an income tax advantage of 15%, don't think about that in terms of your gross billing rate. That's only if you end up with a net profit at the bottom line, that it's 15%. And I haven't ever dealt with excise tax on conservation districts, but there's hardly anything that's exempt from excise tax. So I'm thinking you need to exclude that from the list of advantages. And if you really want to open up a can of worms, and I realize it's not governmental entities, but I would think that a whole lot larger issue would be competition from your REAs and rural water systems and those types of issues. And it's just that you can't come to the state to fix that problem. But conservation district work, I would think, would be a whole lot smaller issue than those other two.
Representative Berg?
Let me just respond to it, and I won't support this amendment either. But in the same sense, REAs and that, they've got gross receipts tax. They're pretty much a private entity. They don't really get tax breaks for whatever they do. You know, they're quite a bit different than the conservation districts. But I just thought if this amendment was workable, it may be worth looking at. But it probably is not germane, and I don't think it hurts to have this discussion anyway, because that. There's a lot of variation in how these conservation districts are run from district to district, and I think that's just kind of the nature of it. But and I also think the funding of this is so vitally important, and it should be more. So thank you.
Do you wish to withdraw your motion to amend, or do you want to vote on it?
I think I had the second, but I think we ought to just withdraw it.
Mr. Chairman, if that would be in order, I would withdraw. I think we had a darn good discussion on the issue, and maybe something will come to light in the future on this issue. Thank you. I would withdraw that.
And you'll withdraw the second. Okay. Thank you very much. Representative Putnam.
Well, if the year was a little better, and we worked this hard on trying to find them some money, we'd probably be way ahead of the ball game, and they could hire any trencher they wanted to out there. So we'd probably solve both problems, but maybe that can be of another year. But thank you for your answers, and thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you.
Okay. With that, other opponents to Senate Bill 52, other opponents. Your proponent? Well, as long as the opponents don't mind, we can let you make a comment.
Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, I'm Darrell Raske, James River Water Development District. Water development districts have a long, long history of supporting conservation. Maybe a little help to the dilemma of this problem that you're being faced with this amendment thing, because I wear two hats here, and I'll tell you about the second hat after the first one. Our water development district consists now of 14 counties. We give each one of our conservation districts $10,000 a year to help with their expenses and cost share on tree planting. Marshall County, Brown, all of them. And some of the counties use it, some do not. Now I'm going to remove my other hat. I also am a partner in Raske Construction, which
does... You're going to take off your badge then,
yeah,
too?
Yeah, I'll take that one off.
Thank you.
Yeah. And we do, and I'm also a landowner in another water development district in Gregory County. Now, Gregory County down there, our conservation district plants a lot of trees. I mean, they are self-sufficient. They do a wonderful job. And there's only one conservation district that owns a trencher, and that's the Lyman County one. We run trenching business out of Gregory and Huron. And we run in southern Lyman County. I have people up there we don't trench for anymore because they get it from there because they get it cheaper. And then, but that's the only county that does that. Okay. So if you have any questions of me, I will gladly answer them.
Thank you. Any questions? Other opponents? Other opponents to Senate Bill 52? Seeing no other opponents, is there any rebuttal from the proponents? Seeing none, we'll close testimony, open it up to action or discussion. Representative Putnam.
Well, thank you, Mr. Chairman. We've certainly had a great discussion on this bill this morning, but I would move to pass on Senate Bill number 52.
Do we have a second to do pass? Second. Representative Byrd, any discussion on that motion? Seeing none, all in favor will say aye. All opposed, nay. And Secretary will call the roll.
Byrd.
Aye.
Dennert.
Aye.
Wismer.
Aye.
Carson.
Aye.
Dietrich.
Aye.
Peters.
Aye.
Wink. Putnam?
Aye.
Tiedemann?
Aye.
9 yeas, 0 nays.
Senate Bill 52 do pass. We'll go to the floor and I'll carry it. Next will be Senate Bill 66. Authorize the Board of Regents to construct an addition to Northern State University Joseph Barnett Center and to accept donations for such purpose and make an appropriation thereof. Senate Bill 66.
Good morning, Mr. Chairman. My name is Don Erlenbus. I'm Vice President for Finance and Administration at Northern State University.
Okay.
And I'm going to put in a pitch for the page that wants to come to Northern or Augustana. I would highly recommend she come to Northern. Senate Bill 66 is to authorize the Board of Regents to construct an addition to the Barnett Center. The Barnett Center was completed in 1987. It's 128,000 square foot. It was at a cost of $8.9 million. The new addition is 4,228 square feet. And I might add that this is just phase one of the project. I do feel that I'll be back to see you next year for approval to do phases two and three. The additional space will be used for locker rooms, for men's and women's basketball, and office space for coaches. The project cost is $557,000. All funds for this project and future phases will come through Northern State University Foundation. No general funds are being requested. And the Northern State University Foundation already has these funds in place. With that, I would stand by for question.
Any questions?
Let's talk a little bit, if I could, Mr. Chairman. Yes. The other funds that we're talking about, is the coming from certain areas? Are they dedicated funds from someplace? Maybe we can talk a little bit about the funds, where they're coming from.
No, these are actual donations for the purpose of an addition to the Barnett Center.
Are all of the funds donations, or did you have fundraisers or something, and a total donation?
It's totally donations, correct.
And you had said earlier that you may be coming back in a few years or even next year and so forth and asking for additional building also. Do you have those funds situated, or are you working on the same project for those funds?
They're working on the same project for those funds.
Do you have a fund balance in those donated funds at the moment?
These are with the unit, with the Northern State University Foundation, and they do have the $557,000 on hand.
How will you handle the heating and the maintenance of this addition? What funds will go towards that?
The university will just absorb those as part of the part of our normal operations.
So will that come from general funds, tuition?
General funds, tuition, probably more from Barnett Center rentals if we can, when we can rent the facility out to other users. For example, this past weekend we had State B wrestling tournaments. We do make a little bit of money on those.
Okay. Other questions or comments? Okay. Thank you. Other proponents for Senate Bill 66? Other proponents for Senate Bill 66.
Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, my name is Julie Johnson with Absolutely Aberdeen. We would simply rise in support of this. It's a great business model to use. These are all donated funds, and we'd appreciate your support. Thank you.
Any questions for Ms. Johnson? Seeing none. Any other proponents for Senate Bill 66? Any other proponents for Senate Bill 66? Any other proponents to Senate Bill 66? Any opponents to Senate Bill 66? Any opponents to Senate Bill 66? Any opponents? Seeing none, we'll close testimony, open it up for action and or discussion. Representative Dennert moved to pass. Is there a second to that motion? Seconded by Representative Byrd. Comments, Representative Dennert.
Well, thank you, Mr. Chairman. I think Mr. Erlenbush gave a good handout. I didn't have any question. All I would reiterate is I think Northern, and I don't know just how to say it, but their attendance per capita, some of it, their basketball games is the greatest in the nation, and I don't know just how to explain that. But as we look forward to the Barnett Center, and Representative Wake asked me if I was familiar with the structure, and I've been in it, but not in the back workings of the structure and the need for the locker rooms, but I do know that as more competition and people get in there, that they've worked this out, and probably I would ask that support to move forward. And no general fund dollars, Representative Putman. Thank you.
Representative Peters.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Well, I do see that this may be needed and used, and it's other funds, but I don't think it's the year that we need to be doing projects. I voted against the prison because it was funding, even though it was other money. I voted against the Human Services Center because it was other money. I just don't think we're sending the right message. We're cutting the budget. We're scaling back government. We're trying to be conservative and balance our budget, and I think we're just sending the public the wrong message if we keep building buildings and having to repair and maintain these things in the future. So with that, I'm going to be opposing this bill.
Any other discussion? Representative Dennert?
Well, thank you, Mr. Chairman. In indifference to Representative Peters, what do they do with the money? Just let it lay there and draw interest then for a better year when they can build it when the need is today?
If I could, I think we
Representative
also,
Berg.
Thank you, Chairman. Sorry about that.
No problem.
I think we also built the Learning Center out in Rapid City, too. So.
I think I think Representative Peters indicated she was consistent with the vote on that one as well. So, any other discussion? Seeing none. Representative Wink.
I'm just going to concur with Representative Peters. I've voted against several spending bills this year, and I'm just going to try and have a consistent message. Thank you.
Well, I too am going to be consistent. If it's outside money and they've raised the money, I'm not going to tell them how they can spend their family living. I call that family living. It's not general funds. With that, Secretary will call the roll. All in favor say aye. All opposed, nay.
Berg.
Aye.
Dennert.
Aye.
Wismer.
Aye.
Carson.
Aye.
Dietrich.
No.
Peters.
No.
Wink.
No.
Putnam.
Aye.
Tiedemann.
Aye.
Six yeas, three nays.
Senate Bill 66 do pass, goes to the floor. Representative Dennert, would you take that one? And then could I ask Representative Wismer to take Senate Bill 48, kind of spread the load? That's on the disaster. That's okay, Representative Wismer? Okay, thank you. And we should have received the talking points on that one when it was on the House side, okay? I think that takes care of our calendar. We just have two that we've deferred action on. Anything else to come before the committee today? Yes, Representative Putnam.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I've just been notified that legislative procedure is going to meet right away in room 414. Representative Dennert, myself, and Representative Diedrich are supposed to go as soon as we're done here to room 414.
Okay, and then at 10:30, we'll be here with Secretary Roberts to talk about the unemployment insurance, finish up that discussion we had last week. Anything else? If
Mr.
not,
Chairman.
Yes, Representative Carson.
I recommend that we move approve the minutes from 13th of February of 2009.
You already have done that.
Thank you.
So we're covered on that one. Okay. With that, Representative Carson moves and Representative Wismer seconds that we adjourn. All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, nay. Motion carried. Adjourned.